Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting today. And I trust everyone are doing well. Let's commit this time to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to give you glory and honor to you, God. And we want to commit this time to you, God, that even as we hear your word of God, as we listen to your word of God, and as we meditate on your word of God, we pray, O God, that you will speak to us, O God. You will speak to each one of us, O God. And your spirit will move mightily among us, O God. We want to thank you for this opportunity, O God, for us to come before you, O God, as a family, O God, as a church. We praise you. We thank you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, church, the message title today will be Draw Near to God. And the passage is taken from James chapter 3, verse 13. Until James chapter 4, verse 10. So it's James chapter 3, verse 13, until James 4, verse 10. So I'll read the passage, beginning from James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 7 again. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So this whole book, James was writing this letter to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered among the nations. James' message was straightforward to the churches that they are actually losing focus on God and they are becoming worldly. The church is becoming worldly. He was saying it's not enough for them to just claim to be children of God who knows the word, but rather they should be doers of the word as well. As we can see in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So James was saying our faith in God should be accompanied by our deeds. In other words, if those who call themselves as God's people truly belong to him, their lives will produce the right deeds and fruits. He stressed on us to endure and trust God during trials, ask God for wisdom, tame the tongue, visit orphans and widows, and don't play favorites. These are the theme of this book. So in other words, James is asking the church to repent from their worldly lives and return to God. So now we'll just reflect on the passage we read earlier and meditate on some of those points. When we look at James chapter 3, verse 13 and 18 again, 13 to 18 again, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So just to share one of my testimonies, right, something that happened a long time back. In one of my previous companies that I was working in, one of the main tasks for the head of my department, my manager, was to recruit new staffs into the department. So she would select people whom she can have a control on. So during interview, she would hire them, and in exchange, the new recruits would need to support and be loyal to her. I have seen how she favors them, ignore their mistakes done in the work, even promote some of them despite they're not qualified for the position, and they were prioritized in every aspect. So all these were done so that the staffs in return would continue to be loyal to her and my manager's position would be secured forever. So church, we also could have come across similar situations on how people work their way to get what they want. So when we look at it, right, what type of wisdom is being demonstrated here by this person? Was this godly wisdom or earthly wisdom? So as we read in James chapter 3, we can see there are two types of wisdom being mentioned here. One is godly wisdom and the other one is earthly wisdom. The wisdom of man or the earthly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and it's demonic and full of envy and it's selfish ambition. So we can read that in verse 15. And on the other hand, the wisdom of God, in verse 17, it says the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then the list goes on. So what sets these two apart is humility. In verse 13, it says that if we pursue the wisdom that comes from God, our entire deeds will be done in humility, and we will be giving glory to God in all that we do. So our greatest example would be Jesus himself. He's the only person who walked in complete humility and meekness in the face of trial, persecution, and unfairness. He embraced humility, and there was goodness in him, sincerity, and pure love that flows from his life to people around him. Jesus did everything to bring glory to the Father. The earthly wisdom, on the other hand, operates in worldly standards as it leads to chaos, division, broken relationships, and pursuit of all evil. So the earthly wisdom, whatever you do, all your actions are motivated out of selfishness, bitterness, and evil desires. And if you look at it, right, it does not come from God, neither it promotes the value or characteristics of God. It only promotes the virtues of this world, power, position, status, and focuses on self-seeking more than anything else. When we harbor bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition, what lies beneath all this is our pride. So pride brings in bitterness, jealousy, selfish desires, and so on. It is pride. And when pride sets in, we see our actions go against everything that God has put in place. The Bible says that godly wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere, the scripture we read earlier. And pride got nothing to do with us. And we all love these qualities, don't we? We will love to work or be around with people who has these qualities. Even in our workplace, we will love if our leaders or managers have these qualities. Pure, peace-loving, submissive, full of mercy, and so forth. But these qualities that we see in godly wisdom are counterculture. We will never see them in people who strive for their own desires, motives, positions, and power. Does not exist in the internet. So even in this current pandemic situation, as we read the paper and social media, we can see that instead of reaching out to the needy and the poor sincerely, we see how some politicians and the rich or the famous are using the situation to promote their political party or their image or their or brand. Like they just go around and brand their image. The focus is more on gaining riches, fame, and establishing their positions rather than really helping the people in need. So this is what earthly wisdom will do. So when we look at James chapter 4, the first three verses, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So when we look at this passage, James was actually commenting on how the believers in church are engaging in fights and quarrels among them. The believers are not living as children of God, and their deeds were actually not reflecting on the faith that they have in God. They claim to be children of God, but the faith is saying something else. Their deeds are saying something else. They were pursuing their selfish desires, which wage war within them. These desires have taken deep root in them, and by pursuing it, they quarrel, they fight, they kill anyone who stands in their way from getting what they want. We can see how self is exalted, promoted, and seeks glory for itself instead of giving glory to God. So we can imagine how the atmosphere in the church was. It's completely toxic. It's all that the people cared was about themselves, their agendas, their motives, and what they want. They were selfish, and they just seek to for the worldly pleasures rather than to bring glory to God. Their prayers were even hindered and goes unanswered, as what they ask from God is only to spend on their pleasures. The church have become people who seek pleasure more than God. So, church, we can imagine how the atmosphere or situation in a church or a ministry or organization be if the people are driven by their selfish motives and worldly pleasures. What happens when the church is so driven by power, status, and their own agendas to the extent that the heart of God is completely ignored? Prayers will never be answered. So we need to be careful so we don't allow the worldly desires to creep into our hearts. If we are constantly comparing ourselves with others, and if we keep telling ourselves that why I'm not having what that person is having, or I wish I'm living like that person who has this and have that, or I want what the other person is having, all this are worldly desires. And if we are not careful, this will consume us, and we need to put to death these worldly desires. And as we move to James verse 4, he says that, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? So therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So I picked this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. The church is comprised of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal savior and have received eternal life. See, God has forgiven us and made us his children. And even as we look at the scripture, it says that we are referred to as his bride. And he's going to come back again for us. We are called to be set apart and not to live as the world lives. We are asked to live blamelessly in this world. However, if we who are called to live a blameless and righteous life before God neglect our calling and just ignore what Christ has done for us on the cross and begin pursuing worldly desires and being one with the world, then we are living in enmity with God. We are becoming enemy of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the Father, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So the Bible uses the word adulterous people. These are very strong words, right? Adulterous people, friend of the world, an enemy of God, to refer us if we love the world in all its passions and pleasures. If we continuously pursue worldly pleasures instead of following God, instead of pursuing His goodness and His word, then we are considered to be adulterous people, friend of the world, and enemy of God. If we are too yoked with the world and what it offers, and if we have neglected God and His word and begin pursuing the worldly passions, then God calls us adulterous people. So, church, today, we need to search our hearts to see if we are living in enmity with God. And in James chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, it says, do you think scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So church, when we talk about the worldly desires that wage war within us, or the selfish motives, bitterness and jealousy that we have, all this are pride. All this are pride. And pride will refuse to acknowledge God and His ways in our lives. Pursuing them is living in enmity with God. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction. Our pride will eventually destroy us. But it doesn't have to be in this way. As the verse says, He jealously longs for the spirit He has caused to dwell in us. God longs for us to return to Him. Our God is a jealous God, full of grace and mercy. He wants to heal the pride in us, so we in complete humility will bring glory to God in all that we do. So what God wants us to do? In James chapter 4 verse 7, He wants us to submit to Him. It says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submitting is when we in total humility surrender ourselves to God. It's the attitude of coming before God and saying, not my will, but your will be done. When we say we submit to God, we will come before God daily to hear His voice, His word, and obey Him. It's daily yielding to Him and putting the self aside and giving glory to God in all that we do and say. And only after we have submitted to God, we will be able to cast and resist the devil and the desires of this world. So church, we need to humble ourselves and come before Him to meditate upon His word and be sensitive to what He's telling us and to obey Him. This is the entire message of James to the church, that we should not be just listeners, but be doers of the word. Another thing that God is asking us to do is to draw near to Him. In James chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Church, this is an invitation from God to draw near to Him in repentance. And we need to respond to it. We need to come before Him and repent from the earthly wisdom in which we have been living. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Church, we cannot be a mixture. We cannot be pursuing the wisdom offered by the world and at the same time pursuing godly wisdom. Another way, we cannot be pursuing God and in the same way pursue what the world offers. We cannot be lukewarm. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So as we draw near to God in humility and repent of our ways, he will draw near to us. That's his promise to us. Only in the fullness of his presence, we will be able to walk in wisdom that comes from him alone. We can't do this on our own. We need God to help us to walk in his wisdom. Moses was someone who pursued God and walked intimately with him. We can read this in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Moses had an intimate relationship with God and walked closely with God. He drew near to God and submitted to his calling and his words. And in Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 26, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. So we can see that Moses didn't live as one of the Egyptians or as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't run after the pleasures of the world. Rather, he pursued God and tasted God, walked with God in his wisdom, and fulfilled the purpose for which God has called him. So church, in conclusion, I'd like to highlight Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We have a choice to make every day, either to live a life that pleases God and gives him glory through our good deeds done in humility, or pursue worldly pleasures with every selfish ambitions and jealousy. We have a choice to make every day. And in the wider road, it is the current world and its system that we are seeing right now. It has its own ways, its own system, doing something which has no regard for God or others. Self is glorified, and every spiritual, unspiritual motives and deeds are pursued here. You see, people run after worldly desires and please themselves rather than pleasing God. So if you are here, that we want everything that others have, we value what the world values, we allow our selfish desires to get the better of us, and we say it's okay because everybody does it. We're already seeing this around us right now. But on the other hand, the narrow gate is a path we as the children of God take as we draw near to him, hear his voice and obey it. Pride is no longer the driving force in our lives. We take this path when we in humbleness, humility, seek him in repentance and walk in godly wisdom. So we need to draw near to God and make this choice daily, church. So let's commit this time in prayer. Father, we want to come before you, God. And we want to thank you, Father, for everything, O God, that you have offered for us, O God, what you have done for us on the cross, O God. Thank you so much, O God, for the grace that you have poured upon us, O God. Thank you so much, O God, for the mercy that you have given us, God. And I pray, O God, that today, God, you will stir our hearts, O God, that we, O God, will seek you, O God, in humility, O God, and pursue the wisdom that comes from you, O God. God, if we have been living in earthly wisdom, O God, if we, O God, have been playing around, O God, with sin, O God, and running after worldly pleasures, O Father God, we come before you, O God, and we ask you to forgive us, O God. We ask you, Lord, to set the heart right before you, O God. And we pray, O God, that we will repent, O God, and turn to you, Father God. This pleasures, O God, and pride, O God, does not lead to you, O God. It leads to destruction, O Father God. Help us to realize this, O Father God. And help us to heed to your call, O God, to come before you, O God, to submit to you, Father God, to draw near before you, O God, to come before you for strength, O Father God. God, even as we see, O God, the uncertainties around us, O God, even as we see, O God, people around us, O God, that's taking this wider road, O God, and multitudes are walking in it, O God. Father, strengthen us daily, O Father, to come before you, O God, to meditate upon your word, O God, to receive your word, O God, that we will pursue, O God, what you have in store for us. Just like Moses, O Father God, help us to walk before you faithfully, O God. Help us to heed your call for us, O God. And Father, help us not to just listen to your word, O God, and not do anything about it, but help us to be doers of your word, O God. God, I pray, O God, that you will heal our pride, O God. Heal our hearts today, O God. If there's anything in us, O God, any ways, O God, in us, O God, that is leading us away from you, O God, then I ask you, Lord, to show it, O God. In those areas of Father God, we want to surrender before you, O God. And I pray, O God, that you will help us, O God, and pull us back, O Father God, in the right way, Father. Thank you, Father God. Praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, O God. Amen. Church, there are a few prayer points here, and I'd like to open this time for anyone to just pick up any one of these prayer points, and we can go ahead and pray. And if you have any other prayer points besides the one that has been mentioned here, you can go ahead and pray for those prayer points.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you that we can come, Lord, together in your presence. We want to thank you for speaking to our hearts. We want to thank you for your word, dear God. Dear Lord, you always ask us to search our hearts, dear God. And it's only through the sword of your spirit, the word, Lord, we get to understand what's in our heart. Dear Lord, we are living in a time where we can easily, Lord, be controlled by all our passions, dear Lord, all our desires, dear God. We find ourselves led by these things and burdened by these things, and we are unable to find rest, Lord, in your presence. And so, Lord, we pray that we will look to you, that we will see the beauty and the joy that is displayed in the life of Jesus, and that we will let go, Lord, the many baggage and the many things, Lord, that hinder our lives, that we will not, Lord, abuse with wisdom, but we will understand, Lord, the heart, your heart, Lord, your goodness, your love, and your compassion and holiness. So, Lord, that we may live with clarity, not being tossed by all these desires, not being double-minded, but rather knowing you. So, Lord, even during this pandemic, the very things we are afraid of, the things that we are asking, the things that we are looking forward to, dear Lord, and the many things we are doing with the time we have during the season, search our hearts, dear Lord. Let it be more and more about you. Let us come back to you, Lord Father, seeking you, rendering our hearts, allowing us, Lord, to understand that nothing, Lord, can save us. Nothing gives meaning and purpose in life except you, dear God. All our abilities can amount to nothing, dear Lord. But those who trust you, those who put their hope upon you, will find joy and life. So speak to us, dear Lord. Speak to our hearts, transform our lives. Forgive us, Lord, if we have turned against you. Forgive us, Lord, if we have held on to things and made it idols. Forgive us, Lord, if we have been double-minded. Forgive us, Lord, if pride has entered our hearts. We come back to you and acknowledge you, Lord, as the one whom we seek, as the Lord above all things. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to give you glory and honor. We continue to pray for this nation. We pray, Lord Father, that you would resolve, Lord, the leadership crisis, that you would bring unity, that you would arrest forces, Lord, that work against what is good and what is right, dear Lord, that you would raise leaders, Lord, who will work towards justice, compassion, and unity, Lord Father, among all people. We pray that you would guide us, Lord, in a time like this. Dear Lord, you are the living God. Your presence, Lord, is with your people. And we pray that as we come to you, as you said, Lord, as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Let us come by faith, Lord. And in such a time, our eyes will be open to the reality of your presence. That we will see, Lord, your goodness. That we will experience, Lord, your power to transform, to guide, to keep us, Lord, in your love, in your goodness. Lord, let us draw near, Lord, believing that you have your arms stretched wide, inviting us to come into your embrace, into your goodness. And nothing can separate us from your love, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray that even as we encounter your goodness, that we will be instruments of hope and comfort to those around us. But Lord, this is what we desire, that revival, Lord, to be aware of your greatness, of your good presence within us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again and again, Lord, to be filled by the presence and the power of the Spirit. Lord, we are unable to do many things by ourselves. We need your power, we need your presence. We need you, Lord, to work in and through our lives. So let us draw near, Lord, with hope, with faith, Let us hold on to the promise of your word. Let us come with our hearts open before you, believing, Lord, that you are gracious and true. We thank you, Father. We pray that you be with all of us. Continue to speak to us, Lord. Let us believe. Let us seek you, Lord. Let us open our hearts to your guidance and to your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.